Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio, Toilet Productions, and Toilet Entertainment present Love Talk, your source of inspiration and information. As always, we broadcast live from the most powerful city in the world, Washington, D.C., where all the lies, liars, and secrets are held. And what we do each and every week, we tell you what the lies are, we expose the liars, and we reveal the secrets, so that way we can build better relationships in our community. And as always, we're sponsored by Trample Mind by Robert Sajer Wellness. School is back in session, and no better way to relieve yourself of the stress of your kids going back to school or just enjoying the daily relaxation of your kids going back to school than with a massage. So no better way to do that than to contact Tranquil Mind by Rob Massage and Wellness. If you're in the District, Maryland, and Virginia, you can call 240-778-5219 to schedule an appointment, or you can go to facebook.com/TQMind. Once again, Tranquil Mind by Rod, Massage and Wellness, the only convenient, effective, and affordable massage and wellness spa in the DMV. So just want to get that out there. Once again, I'm your host, Mr. Rod Stevie. Thank you for joining us this summer, coming back on the scene. And thank you for everyone that was with us last week. Last week we talked about high school love. And before I get into today's topic, I wanted to give an update on that because it is an important time. People were wondering, okay, what happened with this particular story? If you did not know, there was a young man, 19 years old. He was 18 at the time, and he was intimate, according to the judge, according to the jury, according to the way the court came out. They did not have sexual intercourse, and that was the main basis. He claimed that they didn't have sexual intercourse. They were sexually intimate, sexually active in certain ways, being physically involved with each other, but they did not have intercourse. But the parents of the young girl found out. Of course, the name was not released because of her age. She was 15 at the time. She's 16 years old now, so the name was not released. However, she went up there on a stand and said that they did have intercourse and that she was raped. No evidence shown of that case, of the matter that she was raped, if there was any type of sexual intercourse. So, based off of that knowledge, the young man got off on the sexual assault charges, but he did go to jail for endangerment of a minor, for reckless involvement with a minor. So he did have several misdemeanor cases that were brought against him that he can serve up to 3 years in jail. So I just want to put that out there, tell people the finishing aspects of what we were talking about last week. And just my final thoughts on this particular case is that the fact that when it comes down to a senior and a freshman, is very questionable when you are coming into contact, because a senior typically is above 18. A freshman, of course, is underage. So if you have a child that is that age, if you are that age and listening to the show as a teenager, you need to be mindful of what you do, because of the fact that you don't want to put yourself in a predicament that can get you caught up in a jail charge like this young man just had. Now, this different circumstances because this was a tradition at the school. But at the same time, he is still an 18-year-old young man that could have made a decision saying, hey, I am not going to participate in this activity. Even though it's been with the school for 200 years, I'm not going to participate in it and just let it ride. That's what he could have done. So while I have no sympathy for him going to jail, I understand and respect the fact that they did not charge him for a rape if there was nothing that proved that he did sexually assault with an intent to harm this girl. So that's the heavier talk for today. So now we're going to get light with it. School's back in session. Most of our children are in school now. A lot of our children are going to be going to school between now and next week. So why not, as adults, we go back in school? Why not, as adults, we try to recognize some of the things that we need to learn in order to decide when our relationships are best, whether it can be 2 weeks, 20 weeks, 2 years, 20 years. A lot of times we still need a refresher course on what is ideal for our love and love making. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Once again, Miss Choices is on vacation still. Hopefully she'll be back with us next week. So it's just going to be me running the show again, each and every one of you coming in and listening to the show each and every week. So what we're going to talk about today is Love 101, schooling people on the things they really need to know when it comes down to lovemaking. And there was a great article in, on curejoy.com. It's an Ayurvedic site. So those who are really into Ayurvedic medicine, but those who are trying to find their zen, trying to find their balance, or those who are just interested in different types of medicine, herbal remedies, homemade remedies that you can do, it's really great to go on curejoy.com. It's a really great site. So a couple weeks ago, they posted something saying the 12 myths about sex. So this is what we're going to talk about today. I was hoping to get a female perspective on a lot of these things, but like I said, we're going to talk about it from a general standpoint, from a perspective of what I feel, and then a medical standpoint. If you have your own opinions, you can always call. You can always call in to express your opinions on the show, 347-850-1228. Once again, 347-850-1228. Or you can tweet me at rsteve44. That's the best way to contact us through the show, and we'd love to get your feedback any way we can. So let's start with myth number one. Myth number one is penis size determines a woman's pleasure. This is a very interesting topic because of the fact that people feel that the longer you go, the more pleasure that the woman has. But number one, this is one of the largest myths that people have when it comes down to lovemaking. It's all about the length. However, when you think about it, it should not be completely about the length. It should be about the context instead of the content. And that's putting it in a way saying that length doesn't really matter. According to the survey, 32% of women consider girth as the better barometer compared to length. Doesn't mean that they don't want length, but it means that girth is the better approach. Wanting something that, for girth, the width is more important than the length. And that's a big factor that you see in a lot of relationships. That's why you see all these people, medically, so from a medical standpoint, getting implants or taking the blue pill or taking different aspects or elements medically to try to enhance them to get that length, not realizing that that is a muscle. There's muscles, there's blood vessels, there's different stretches of the skin. So if you stretch the skin certain ways, you can create width. And that width can be more beneficial for your partner. So that's number one. Two talks about yourself as far as how you take care of yourself, so to speak. Does that wane when you're in a relationship? Now, this here, I think this pretty obviously is a myth. Self-pleasure is a way for a person to understand their body. It's a way for a person to understand what they can do with their bodies. It is a way to project that to another person. So this is considered taboo in this country. However, from the beginning of time, this has been an example of how men and women are able to understand who they are so that way they can be more beneficial for their spouses. And this here has been chopped down, worded off as some nasty, perverted act. And I'll tell you right now, it's not. Now, if you do it constantly, that's a problem. If you ignore your spouse your significant other because of the fact that you want to do that, please yourself instead, then that's a problem. Because of the fact that you're taking away the aspect of being with another person with the regard of being with yourself. That is a problem because of the fact that it destroys the connection with the relationship. If you focus on that solely, or if you use it as a dominant point of intimacy, then that will destroy your relationship because of the fact that you're not passing the intimacy off to someone else. On the flip side, doing that can help strengthen your intimacy, maybe help strengthen physically who you are, so that way you can do what you need to do to please your spouse. So these numbers should not surprise anybody. 45% of women are into self-pleasure compared to 85% of men. No doubt about that there. That's pretty common. However, I do think the number for women are low because of the fact that a lot of women do not want to stress that. A lot of women would say, no, that's disgusting. There's a survey. So the survey goes up to random people and say, do you do this? So if they don't want people to know they do this, they're going to say, oh, no, never me. However, those numbers probably are skewed. I would say probably 65 to 70% of women compared to 85 to 90% of men. That's my opinion on that. Now, here is number three. This is the most interesting topic of these myths. Homosexuality is a pathological condition. Now, according to this here, this is a myth. They're saying that if you are homosexual, it's a physiological condition, not a pathological condition. So people who don't understand the difference between physiological and pathological, physiological means that this is something that's embedded in you from the foundation, and this is something that cannot be altered. Pathological means that this is something that has affected my brain, however, can be changed. And this is the biggest myth, I think, out of all the 12. So the fact that people feel that there is a connection with, you know, with the mind and homosexuality. Or some people also feel that homosexuality is innate. When you're born with it, you're born gay. You're born thinking about other relationships. So I got Miss Choices on the line. Let's get her in here and let's go back and rehash on certain things. Miss Choices, how can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, doing pretty good. So we're talking about Love 101. We're trying to teach people. We're trying to school people here. So let me go back a little bit on a couple of things. We got some time here. So let's go back on a couple of things that we talked about earlier. We're talking about the 12 myths about sex and sexuality. So number one was size is very important to women's pleasure over, you know, size over matter. Basically, you know, the length is more important than the width. This is considered a myth in this particular survey that I have right here. So let me get a woman's opinion on this. This doesn't matter the length, doesn't matter the width. This is number one. We're coming this hard. Day one, this is how we go. Love 101, we're teaching people.
Okay, I think I'm prepared. The length matters more than the width. I think it depends on the woman, to be honest. Everybody's not built deep. You know what I'm saying? I think everybody can stretch to the width part of it. You know what I'm saying? I think that's by human nature, we can stretch to the width. But honestly speaking, I would have to say it really doesn't matter. Because if the connection is there, you'd be surprised what enjoyment and what fulfillment you'll get. Like, some women be like, oh, if he ain't got 7 to 9 inches, I don't have no time. Oh, okay, so we know you got an ocean to swim in. That's what's up. You know what I'm saying? Everybody ain't got the ocean to swim in. So, I mean, say it. But as well as you may, you know, I really feel like, you know, God made someone for everybody. So some women, some women that are saying, oh, yeah, he got to be long and in charge or whatever. Okay, don't get me wrong. You know, you don't want no itty-bitty man. But the point being, are they with someone at that time, or are you talking to the single chick? You know what I'm saying?
That's a very good question. I don't know who was surveyed by this, but according to this survey, people look for the girth compared to the width, 32% to 20%. So it's pretty close compared
to what they're
gonna say. When it comes down to people
we're
talking about.
That's what they're gonna say. I feel like that's what they're gonna say, because that's the status quo of, you know what I'm saying, he got to be hanging down to his knees and, you know, all this, that, and the third. But what they fail to realize is he only going to get 4 of 8 in there. But you looking at what he really got. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, do you want the package of 4.5 go all the way in and he be, you know what I'm saying, knocking your walls out? Or do you want the 7? He's only getting it part of the way in and he feeling neglected.
And you know, that brings us to number 4 on this here. I want to roll this here. Number 4 on this list is picking a partner is based on sexual performance. So basically, they're saying that in this particular survey, they're saying that women choose based off of characteristics of raising children, while men choose a relationship or characteristics of the conception.
Okay. So women choose on the characteristics of if he can raise a child?
So basically, if he has the finances mentally of raising the child, while men base their relationship on the fact of can this woman give me the child that I want?
Well, I'm on the man's side. Because I mean, if you're a woman, you're looking at, oh, okay, does he take care of his other children? Does he have money? Is he stable? Okay, guess what? He might be, but he might not be with you. So I mean, every man has a preference, because if you're looking at what he's doing for somebody else and not what he's doing for you, you already 5 steps back from getting whatever you're looking for. And I'm with the man. Like, shoot, if I feel like I can conceive with this woman and I know what she's going to bring to the table, he got a better shot than you do.
Good point. And think about people, we're only a third of the way through. This is only the first 4 myths about sex and relationships. This is according to securejoy.com. This is a site that is more of a European site, and this site is based off of, you know, just the balance and the nature and the nurture of relationships. So that's where this is coming from. So let's go to number 5. The myth number 5 is men are always ready for sex. Now that, from a male point of view, that is definitely a myth. There's a lot of times, I mean, we probably might be more ready than women, real talk, but there's a lot of times we're tired, we come home from work, we don't feel like, you know, being intimate, we just want to go home, watch sports, send a drink of beer, and go to sleep. And that's real talk.
Okay, so if that's a myth, let's say that I really would like to know the percentage that said, hey, this is a myth. Because, my thing is, let me say this. There are some men who, let's say, they're having a hard time financially. Things ain't going their way. You know what I'm saying? What they want to do for their family and their home, they're not able to. They may be a little bit par. I understand it, because it's an emotional effect. I feel that. But then you have the other side where his life is going, he doesn't have to be going great. His life is going okay. Things are a little all right. Yeah, the day was stressful. Let me get that stress off by, you know what I'm saying, getting it in. You know what I'm saying? So I'm curious to find out what percentage said that this is a definite myth, because I don't get me wrong, I can see where they're going. But I don't know.
That's a very good point.
I have a comment to that. I think it depends on the mate. Even if they are, you know what I'm saying, it may be the part-time chick, or not. I would, you know what? I would say the full-time chick that he's no longer interested in.
Right.
And it's like, whatever, sure, or
I
nah.
I gotta come on there, yeah, nah.
Right.
Yeah, that's a very
that
good point.
I think that can be a serious debate on that one.
That is very interesting, exactly, because a lot of us as men will say, shoot, that's the way we're going to get our stress out. We got to get, you know, shoot, we got to get our stress out somewhere. We're going to relieve this tension that we have going home from work. We're stressed out. You know, I just want to get a, you know, get a bed and get a sports center. But at the same time, when I go to bed, you know, shoot, I need to get the stress off my chest. So, yeah, that's definitely a very good point. It doesn't. It does, this one, this is the one that doesn't give numbers. That's the interesting point of this survey. Like, who they surveying, and then why does this one, number five, doesn't have any numbers? Now, this is myth number six, and this is the one that gets relationships. This can make or break a relationship right here. Myth number six. The duration of your sexual act has to be at least 30 minutes.
That's bull crap.
Number six. Now, this is what it says here. Now, let me read these numbers here, because this might be an eye-opener for a lot of people. Now, what they say is the average time for those who are those who are in a committed relationship is between 6 and 10 minutes. The average time for men with erectile issues is 3 minutes, and the average time for a man that has premature ejaculation is 1.8 minute. And I hear silence on the phone, and that's that's the interesting part. This is 6 to 10 minutes is average for a man and a woman.
Okay, I'm good with 10 minutes, but my thing is, how long does it take him to get it back up again? That's the question. Because he can go 6 to 10 minutes 15 times back to back, you got a winner. I'm just saying.
I think that's a
teeter totter moment. What type of man is he? Is he gonna go his 6 to 10 minutes and could be completely done, or is he gonna go his 6 to 10 and be able to high five you back in about 3-4 more times?
That is the question, and that's the biggest, I think that should be myth number one to me, because of the fact that we know that a lot of people base their relationships, period, off that length of time, not even just the sexual relationship, just even just a long-term relationship. They're like, man, you know, we're vibing, but he can only go, he's in the middle ground of 3 minutes. You know, that has been a make or break for a lot of people when it comes down to relationships.
Mhm. I just don't understand. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. It can be a great thing, but my thing is, if your man's stamina, let's say he is a 6 to 10 minute man, okay.
Mhm.
Is he 6 to 10 minutes and done, or is he 6 to 10 minutes and 30 seconds later, I'm rocking ready to go again?
That's a good question. And then also, I guess question number two comes in: what are you doing before those 6 to 10 minutes? And that's, I think, the precursor of what's happening. If there is a good amount of foreplay, if there's a good amount of, you know, the pregame show, then, you know, if the, you know, like, basically, like, you, like, if you watch UFC, watch MMA, you know, basically, it's all about the pregame show. It's not really about the actual fight, because the actual fight doesn't last more than 3 minutes. typically when you watch the MMA fight, but the pregame show goes about, you know, 2 hours.
What if you don't have pregame? Everybody don't have pregame.
Yeah, true. A lot of people don't have the pregame show. That's what they got. That's what they got to work on. That's what we're talking about. Basically, for a dude that you're a person that's gonna have that short MMA game, where your ultimate fighter is not fighting more than one round, which one round in MMA is 5 minutes, then you gotta have a good pregame show.
Yeah, you would have to, because that would have to be that would have to make up for all your shortcomings. But this is my honest opinion. I still feel like it depends on the female. Some female are all about the foreplay. They can get a little 2 to 3 minutes and be good, because that'll just kick it off at the end. But the 90% of what they're looking for is the foreplay. Then you have other women who she like, look, just give me the hard all the way. You know what I'm saying?
That's
just
true.
Give it to me, and you know. And we'll go to 6 minutes, but her question after that is, if you can go 6, how long is it going to take you to get back right? And I think the issue will come into play is, if it takes you 10, 15 minutes, she like, man, I'm about to take a nap.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
And then what that happens, kills the move right there.
Yeah. So, I mean, those are good myths. And I think they're a true myth, because you can always debate the fact of what's really going on. But I really feel like it depends on what you're looking for, who you're looking for to do it with, and what you're planning on getting out of it.
Well, we got about a few more minutes left here, so we're going to go right into the best part. So number seven is, sex is a daily activity for most couples. That is myth number 7. Now, this here is interesting, because of the fact that this is definitely good. 34% of married couples live 2 or 3 times a week. That's what they say here according to the survey. Now, 45% say 2 or 3 times a month. That is pretty much the way the myth goes.
I truly believe that's a myth. I've been with my husband for 11 years, okay? We haven't been married for 11. We've been married for 2. And absolutely freaking not. We'd probably have an argument and have issues if it was once or twice a week. And in most relationships, I would think that if you're not giving, you know what I'm saying, your man what he's looking for, okay, he give you your 5-day break, not counting that piece out. But every other day out of the month, I think you should be all in like swimwear. I think you should be, you know what I'm saying, appeasing him. I mean, it may not be 7 days, but at least a good 4 to 5. Like, and I mean, it don't have to be a session. It may be you get you, he get him, and the party's over, and y'all get up and go to work or something, or it's time to go to bed. But I mean, be mindful.
So you're one of the 7%.
Huh?
That's 7. You're part of 7%. 7% says 4 more times a week.
Yeah. Or somebody going to have an attitude. Start asking questions.
Exactly. Now, this is interesting. They said 13% only has 4 or 5 times a year.
See, that's some old people with nothing else to do with their life.
Yeah, that's one thing that has to be an old time. So we got a few minutes. We're going into overtime right here. So number 8, females must always have an orgasm. That's number 8.
No, I don't think so. A lot of times women don't have them. I'm sorry.
They don't have them.
I don't think that women always have one. I think the enjoyment of what's going on is enough 90% of the time. But Don't get me wrong, you would want to have some type of climax while all of this is going on. But it may not be.
That's what the survey says.
It may not be every time, but you're going to want to have some type of climax at some point. And what usually happens is when the climax does happen, either you're in shock that it's going on, or you're so excited that it's happening. And it may just be both of you guys are relaxed at the same exact time, which means you're going to get your full fulfillment the same exact way.
That's very, very true. So now number nine. This is an interesting one here. Number nine, the birth of a child benefits a couple's sex life. That's myth number nine. Basically what they say here, at 8 months after birth, one in two say that the quality of their relationship was average or worse than what it was before. But they said 4 years after a child is born, then the sexual urges actually balance out.
I think it depends on the person. Because you hear a lot of couples who get pregnant within the first 8 months or before the 9 months hit. The wife is pregnant again, the girlfriend's pregnant again, and it happens more times than not. So if you're one of the, I don't really believe that it would take you years for you to get your mojo back. Even though you have a baby, I mean, I don't think that's it. I don't think the baby should slow down your sexual drive.
Very true. Very true. And the thing is, a lot of times people think that the child is holding you back. They feel like, oh, man, I got a child, I can't do this because, you know, it's definitely a psychological thing. As I'm seeing on a tweet here, there's a psychological matter that says that, oh, man, that, you know, I can't do what I need to do. And then that's, you know, that's a big issue, I think, more so with men, I think, than with women. But a lot of times, so there are some women that have those baby blues that say, man, you know, I said, we already have a child right now. We can't do this. You know, we got to hold back. We got to pull back. So it does have a good balance, I think, on that as well. Now, this here is going to cause a lot of controversy. We are in overtime right now. This is Love Talk, Blog Talk, Radio, Toy Production, Toy Entertainment. We are Miss Choices. This is Mr. Rod Stevie. And we are talking about the 12 myths about lovemaking. Number 10. This here is also an interesting one. Pornographic material can be catastrophic to a relationship.
Okay, so.
Now, let me give you the numbers on this here. Now, it says here, this is the numbers. Now, in a relationship, they say 76.8% of men watch porn while they're in a relationship. That's no surprise to anybody. Three out of every four men watch porn when they're in a relationship. Now, this one surprised me, 31.6% of women, so one out of every three women, watch porn when they're in a relationship.
I don't see what's wrong with it.
And they say that those who are in strong relationships, about half of those men and women, they collectively they watch together in order to, you know, just to watch together, just to get, you know, insight.
I think it should. I mean, you may not want to collaborate with your husband all the time, but let's say you have a busy work schedule and 90% of your day is spent away from home. Would you rather him watch the porno and get him, or her watch the porno and get her, or would you rather them find someone physically to be your substitute?
Interesting question. That's an interesting point.
So, I mean, I think it depends on the person if they have a problem, or because me personally, I only think it should become a problem if we're in the bed together, you pull up a porno and I'm not included, or this is all about you and you forget I'm sitting over here.
That
would be an issue.
That's the problem. I think, you know, there are, you know, men especially use it as an enhancement. You know, they use it as a means to say, like, hey, you know, I'm watching this. This kind of helps me get, you know, get to that point, get in the mood. you know, disappointed in this. I'm using it on you. I'm not using it on anybody else. I'm not fantasizing about that girl that's on the screen. I'm using it as an enhancement. But there are a lot of women that will say, why are you watching this? Because you're probably fantasizing about her and not fantasizing about me. Or you're thinking about her when you're with me. And that's where the issue a lot of times comes in.
Well, I think they would be an insecure person if that is their case. And I would really, and my next question would be, are you, as the woman in the relationship or the man in the relationship, whichever it be, are you the co-partner in the relationship willing to say, hey, let's watch it together. Hey, let's try that. You know what I mean?
Really? Exactly.
Or are you just turning your nose up and saying it's not appropriate, it's not right?
Right. No. Mm-hmm. That's the thing, the dilemma that, you know, that people get when it comes after that. And, you know, I'm getting another tweet here from BA saying it's not right for everyone. They're saying that, you know, everyone is not, you know, made to watch. You know, everyone's not, you know, don't feel comfortable watching porno. Everyone is different. That's what they put here on the tweet.
Okay. And I'm good with that. But know your mate. Know your mate. Don't be shocked when you already knew when you was dating. You walked in his bachelor pad. He had 15 videos sitting there on his little CD shelf. Don't be shocked.
Got the mixtape going on.
Right, like he had him up there like CDs. He wasn't ashamed for you to walk in his house and see Buffy and Pinky and whoever else sitting there. I'm pretty sure that the preconceptions was already there. I'm pretty sure that you've already seen a glimpse of what he used to do prior to you. So most men are creatures of habit. They're not going to change that because of you. I mean, honestly speaking, it has nothing to do with the woman. It's what he prefers.
That's very true. And that's very true. And then, like I said, once again, we're talking about Love 101 right now. We're trying to school people about some of the myths about lovemaking. So number 11 is pretty obvious. When after age of 60, there's no sexual activity. I think we're, you know, we don't want to talk about it. But I think we know that, you know, even when you're over 60, there's still a lot of activity going on. 60% of men, 64% of women say they're satisfied with their sexual activity after the age of 60. So that's pretty obvious. It's just something that we don't want to talk about because we're talking about, you know, our parents.
Your grandma.
You know, our grandparents. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, we don't want to talk about that, but it's there. Of course there. But this is number 12. This is something that people don't understand. This is a very important one here. Number 12 myth is that sexual problems occur more frequently among men. But according to what they say here in the survey, that more women suffer from sexual dysfunction compared to men. That's why this new female Viagra was just passed. This bill just passed for female Viagra because of the fact that they say that mentally, emotionally, psychologically, chemically, that women are not having the urge to have sex. Thus, this new female Viagra. And that's what a lot of people don't realize. People think it's always on the men, though, and it's always on the men, but it's not. It says here 40 to 47% of women have sexual dysfunction compared to 25 to 27% of men.
I can believe that. Because women go through menopause and, you know, have hysterectomies and, you know, are they supposed to kill their sex drive or they're just bitter in life. You know, I mean, to be truly honest, sometimes women are just bitter and they have that I don't want it type attitude, or you're so mad at yourself that you can't get past it. And I can fully believe that, because some men be thinking, and what they do is, as they're going on with their relationship and things that they're doing, they're telling, oh, it's you, or they're blaming it on him, and he's thinking, well, something wrong with me. No, she's not making it so that you are attracted to her anymore. She's not making it so that you're wanting her anymore. She's not making it so that she's being spontaneous. And I don't care if you're 25 or 65. I mean, it. I don't think it matters. And
I think
and
that's
I can
a very
truly
important
see.
Aspect.
Yeah,
that's a very important aspect. I think it's more of a psychological. Psychologically, a lot of women, they don't try once they get to a point. They get complacent. They get complacent. They get, okay, you know, it's just the fact that, you know, they feel
that.
They
had one homegirl tell them, girl, don't be doing that. That ain't right. She disclosed one of her secrets, and now somebody think it's nasty. Now she's self-conscious about what she was doing, and she don't want to do it no more. I don't think that's, for one, it's not fair to him. And for two, you're selling yourself short by limiting how your relationship could be.
Yeah,
first off, you don't tell nobody your business like that, but that's a whole nother topic.
that's how it goes, definitely. You know, so those are the 12 myths right there. We try to school people. It's Love Talk, Blog Talk Radio, Total Production, Toy Entertainment. That was Love 101. So hopefully everybody realized the school is back in session. You got to learn these things so that way we can build better relationships. Tell people the choices, how they can get in contact with you.
They can reach me on Facebook at Choices Brown, and it's CHOIXEZ. They made me change my name. I'm in my feelings. Or you can reach me at Miss Choices One on Twitter, which is MZCHOICEZ1. Either way, I'd be glad to hear your thoughts. Or you can also reach out to me on Facebook or about on my blog. It might be about you.
That's right. So let's make sure we support these shows and make sure we try to do a lot of big things to explore and help to grow our communities. Thank you, each and every one of you, for listening to this show this week. Like I said, we went a little bit over time, but it doesn't matter. We're trying to teach people this Love 101, school's back in session. So that's why we're trying to do this, try to make sure that everybody knows what they need to know so that way the lesson is learned and that way we can build and build strong relationships in our community. And once again, Rod's TV show comes back this Sunday. The Sunday before Labor Day, we're talking about Summer Madness. We're talking about the, you know, everything that's been going on this summer. So there's going to be a lot of things to talk about, a lot of impact that we're going to have on this particular show. So I want everybody to listen now to that show. And once again, we are broadcasting live from the most powerful city in the world, Washington, D.C. So make sure that you understand that there's a lot of things that are going on throughout D.C., throughout this country, and make sure that we're doing the things that impact our neighborhoods. And that way we can build better families, build better people, build better children, just build the structure so that way we are doing the things that we need to do. So until next time, we'll talk.